Our text, the text for this morning on Pentecost, although always Acts chapter 2, today we're going to add with it from our pew Bibles on page 983, Romans 8, verses 22 through 27. As Paul has been building for quite some time his systematic theology for the Christians in Rome, and now he's coming to the crescendo of it before he begins to go back down in the book. Romans 8, 22 through 27, found on 983 for those following with me. Listen and hear the word of the Lord. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for this morning, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for your presence in our lives. As we stop and consider these words, Holy God, speak to our hearts and to our minds. And as you speak to us, encourage us to take that revelation with us into our community. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Pain, while often an intensely personal experience, need not be as isolating as we initially have conceived of it or thought about it. God has a response to that feeling, and it is available to us if we'll open the box and allow God to move in and with and around us. That which could divide, God has a way to meet. The gift of Pentecost and the movement of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is the gift that the church needs. It is the gift that God grants to us both as the church now and the community as we come together, as it is the gift that God grants to us whether we're in a quarantine or a pandemic or not. It is available to us. And the gift, which I think adds on to what we talked about, young people, with the Holy Spirit, is the gift of commonality and of relationship. This is not a gift of isolation or physical distancing alone. It is not something that I discovered this gift alone only in my prayer closet, and then I do not share with my family or my church or my larger community. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of Pentecost, is that we all, each one of us, are presented with this gift. We deal with these struggles in our lives, and the gift is accessible for all of us. But as many of us do struggle with it, perhaps we don't realize that the gift is there. Perhaps we leave it in the box. Perhaps we set it on the table. We'll get to it later. We'll deal with it later. But God is still accessible to us. The gift is still there. Pentecost makes me wonder if we'll have the courage to open the box. When I was a boy, my paternal grandparents consistently behaved in the same way around my birthday regarding the gift that they offered to me, whether I was 5 or 18. Now, to set the table, I need to tell you that my gram struggled to identify with or take care of small children. I know she was a parent. She felt that she just wasn't qualified all the way to take care of my sister and I. We can be a handful, as you know, I'm sure. Maybe she felt she just wasn't a good enough mother. Maybe not. I don't know, and I don't judge her. This is just the nature of our relationship. Graham struggled with these things, and she brought them to us when it was time for a gift. That byproduct of Graham being distant from us was a lack of identification and understanding. This was manifested for me most clearly around these birthdays and holidays that I mentioned already. And before I continue the story, I loved her. And I love her very much, even though she is with the Lord now. So don't think I'm throwing her in front of the bus, as they say. Graham didn't understand what a teenage boy might want for his birthday, for example. And so she would err on the side of tradition. Every year, for as long as I can remember, I could expect the same organization of gifts. I would always receive a box of oatmeal cream pies because she knew I liked them when I was younger, and I still do. She would then present me with some sort of another box of things. It was an accessory for my car that maybe I knew how to use it. Maybe I didn't understand it or didn't see the need for it. One year I got a candle to melt the ice off a lock on the door when it was frozen. I got a steering wheel cover one year for my birthday. I got a hammer-like thing. I don't really know how you describe it, so that you could smash the window out if you were ever in an accident. And as I was thinking about this week, Graham gave me a lot to get me out of a jam when I was in a car. She must have thought I was a horrible driver, that I would need that. I don't know. She never actually said. But every year, the same thing happened. Got the cream pies, and then I got something for the car that I may or may not have needed. Every year after she left, then, I would take the other box, not the pies, out into the garage, and I would set it on the shelf. And there it would sit until my dad decided to take it and use it for something. After they left, you see, the gift stayed in the box, because that's where I thought it belonged. The Pentecost event, what's happening in the life of the church, connects intensely personal experiences of individuality with a new experience of being community. Albeit an experience that's difficult to understand. We've never seen tongues of fire resting upon people. The Pentecost event gathers a community together. And that community becomes the bearer of and witness to God's deeds of power in their life. And that is the gift that is offered to us, one of commonality and one of relationship. God's deeds in our lives. I wonder if you, knowing that, would choose to leave the Pentecost gift in the box, put it on the shelf in the garage, as someone might have, or if you would open it and use it as God intended. You see, just knowing about the event of Pentecost, or knowing about the power and presence that are contained in the Holy Spirit's outpouring from Jesus onto us, isn't enough. In this case, you can know a thing. I can know a thing. We can know a thing. We can understand it. We can be able to explain it in great detail. We may be mentally good at stripping it down to its component parts, and yet, even with all of that knowledge, the gift can remain locked away from our hearts because we have not welcomed it. We've put it in a garage. It'll be there another time. There are plenty of things that can distract us away from opening the box and receiving what the Holy Spirit means in our lives. As the primary voice that informed my doctoral research would say, Jesus is the embodiment of God's decision never to be except to be with us. But on Pentecost, is that what I would say? Jesus is the full glory of God looking us in the face and seeing the utter fragility of humanity looking back at him. Sure, but what comes of that in a post-quarantine world in 2021? The cross of Christ is the utter manifestation of God taking on the consequences for our failures and our sins. Jesus' resurrection is the bursting open, the kicking down the door of eternal life and glory as victory over death comes. But we say, fine. I've still got to pay the bills, though. And I still have anxieties to address. And don't even get me started on this mask thing. to deal with. Even as summer is beginning, and my children's schoolwork and your family's schoolwork is coming to an end, and activities have changed, we are left struggling with what that Pentecost gift means for us. We create 100 reasons not to open the box because we cannot fully understand it or explain it. We are frightened to try, and so many of us don't even bother to put forth the effort. We are used to, are we not, more tangible, more immediate, more simple things to consider about Christ? We deal with forgiveness by trying to forget. The truth is, left to ourselves today, we would never open the box because it's too complex to understand. If we were the disciples, we'd never come out of the upper room. However incredible the gospel's message of Jesus is. Like teenage Derek said to his Graham, I don't want your gift by my actions. And so I can get all the head stuff about Jesus. I can explain everything that's happening from birth through ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension. But I'll put this Pentecost thing away because I don't need it. And that's why God sends this rushing wind and these tongues of fire into your life. When, as Paul says, we are locked away in our weakness and our world is experiencing the birth pangs that are both joyful and suffering, the Spirit breaks through. Here comes the wind of Pentecost. It is that that hovered over the waters, the same wind at creation. It was the fire that consumed everything at the giving of the law with Moses. That wind pushed the disciples out of the door, and the tongues of fire gave them the courage to open the box. Jesus offered the change today. A Spirit to pray for us when our words fail, and we have been there this year. A Spirit to be with us when the pain that we deal with, regardless of how it is felt, is too painful, and we have been there. This year, this is the word of hope that we are presented with as the gift of Pentecost is placed before you on the table. I wonder if you'll leave the box sitting there, or place it out of sight in the garage, or maybe you'll be courageous enough, you'll make the choice to open the gift and be changed because of it. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we are grateful to be together this morning. We are grateful to be your church with the gift of the Holy Spirit before us and all of this Pentecost stuff happening in our lives. Loving God, as we continue in our worship today, continue to encounter us, continue to mold and to shape us. Give us the strength. Not just to partake of communion here together, but the strength to open the box today and to be changed because of it. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. I remind you, as we prepare to come forward to receive the elements, we will once again go from the front to the back, coming down the middle and going out the back. We will partake of our elements together, as we have been doing so for a better part of a year now, when the time comes. And so I invite you from front to back to come, partake, grab your elements, and we will continue the service together. Mm-hmm.